welcome back to another exciting episode of BestoCast. This week we are talking about physical costumes versus CGI costumes in television and movies. This is more particularly superhero-based ideology towards this. I did post on the Friends of Besto TV group. If you want to join, please go in and join. I'd like to see your friendly faces and you know, since this is broadcast across so many different channels. I may or may not be able to see your comments wherever you're chatting from, if they even allow comments. So it's almost better if you go to the Facebook group, Friends of Besto TV, and chat me up there. I can see it. I can almost instantly get back to you, and we'll have a deep discussion, just like we had a deep discussion of this. So basically, the idea was that. With the advent or modernization or moving forward with technology, like a lot of characters don't really wear costumes anymore. Well, they wear costumes, but the costumes are like CGI generated, or they're partial costumes with like CGI elements to them. And I just kind of wanted to know like what everybody else's thoughts were out there. Not just, you know, not that it's just my own thought, but it's everybody else's thought. There's something about where you watch Iron Man and he's physically taking off that helmet, or you're watching Spider-Man and he's physically taking off that mask, versus where it's kind of modern stuff. And now granted, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, where in Iron Man, he's always advancing technology. So of course, eventually you're going to get to nanomites, and nanomites actually play a part in the MCU anyway, where, you know, I think you finally start to see it, that nanomite suit. Forgive me if I am wrong. It's been a while since I've seen those original MCU movies, but I believe you see the nanomites come Infinity War, and it plays up. This is where it plays a part, where it's like, you know, he can only they only have X amount of power. So, you know, it's either you use them in repulsors, or you use them as shields, or whatever, you know, like you use them as a knife. You know, once Thanos is giving him a beatdown and everything, you know, it weakens it. So you get to points where, you know, he can't really wear the mask. You know, he needs to protect his vital areas over like his face. You would assume his face is a vital area, but in the scene that I'm referring to, he's creating a shield and whatnot. So it has to go where it has to go. It makes sense, because Tony Stark is basically a technology-based character. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb on this, because I know that Shuri is also a technology-based character. I know that you know, she's going to make advancements. I right before I was about to record this podcast, I'd already seen a thing where Stark's nanomite tech actually comes from Shuri, so it makes sense. So it kind of blew apart my argument that I was going to make on this podcast, where in Black Panther's first movie, I'd rather see Black Panther have a physical costume, you know, utilizing a physical costume versus a digital disappearing hat trick costume all the time. You know, like at least one damn movie. You know, even Spider-Man eventually got to that point where he gets the Stark armor. He gets I forget what it's called, the Iron Spider armor. Something about these movies have started driving me up the wall. It even comes down to while like watching Ant-Man. Like, I wish Ant-Man had a physical damn costume too, because and granted, they all work together. So, you know, they're all part of the Avengers, so they're probably all sharing tech. So it would be obscene for Hank Pym to not necessarily employ the same technology as Iron Man. However, Hank Pym also didn't want to share the Pym particles outside of anybody else, outside of basically the family. No other Avengers really utilizes the Pym particles. Except for the five of them. I don't know. I mean, I guess technically that comes from Wakanda, as it was pointed out somewhere. I referenced the reference, but I don't remember where I saw it. But the thing that drives me absolutely bonkers with these movies is nobody wears a physical helmet anymore. Or granted, whatever. We do. There are nanomites, and the goddamn helmet disappears into your freaking ear canal or wherever the hell it goes. Well, if you read the comics, the nanomites, as far as like Tony Stark went into your bone marrow. That's where the nanomites hid. So when he wasn't wearing his Iron Man costume, the nanomites would go into his within his bone marrow. But it's funnier to think that it just goes in your ear canal or up your nose, you know, becomes extra hair follicles. Yeah, it just drives me nuts that everybody has that technology. Like every single goddamn movie now, people are like slightly flicking their head back, and all of a sudden everything melts away and their face is there. And I kind of have that feeling, I don't know, like if any of you listeners have ever seen the thing where, you know, where they talk about the Hulk being in the Hulk Buster during Endgame. Not even in the Hulk, Bruce Banner being in the Hulk Buster during Endgame. And once it was pointed out, it's hard to unsee. So I'm sorry. I apologize for this. If I'm breaking an illusion for you, but all you can see when you realize that the Hulkbuster armor is all CGI, and basically you're just watching Bruce Banner's torso float back and forth. So it's just so if you imagine away the Hulkbuster armor, it's just a floating torso of Mark Ruffalo floating around. And I just kind of get that same feeling when they do the nanomite trick where the helmet flips back and it disappears, where I kind of feel like the heads of whomever was wearing that, like I feel like the rest of that must be CGI. And like you just have like the floating head of Paul Rudd, you know, it's just Paul Rudd's head. And even weirder is when you got characters that have long hair. And they flick that they flick the helmet back, and it just seems like the hair just kind of the hair moves weird. Like all of a sudden, it's like, you know, Cassie Lang, all of a sudden she has hair hanging over her shoulders or whatever, and it's just I don't know. It's just like, and then I imagine when it flips back up, the hair just goes back up and over her eyes. You know, it just carries it all up and over. It just, I don't know. It's impractical. But it's a comic book movie. I try not to get too down on that stuff, but it's like, it's just overuse of CGI, just to, I guess, churn things out faster. I mean, that's the whole deal now, right? Is that Disney has to have, are we deep enough that I'm allowed to swear? So we can, you know, Disney can have two goddamn IPs out a month for Marvel, two goddamn IPs of Star Wars, 15 different movies a month. So, you know, and everything is CGI to the point that the CGI workers are overworked. They're overworked and underpaid. So the CGI looks, you know, even though we've advanced that the CGI looks realistic, we're starting to regress now because there's so much out there that the CGI almost rivals like what you would have seen in like the 90s, like the late 90s, early 2000s kind of CGI. This isn't really a suit related thing, but you know, like, you know, She-Hulk has to be a CGI character. Here's the thing that I learned was that there was a stunt double who was 6 foot, 7 foot, muscular, female, that basically she was painted green. And then they would CG, the actresses, I can't recall the actress's name, but the actress that plays She-Hulk, Jen Walters, they CG her face onto this other actress's body, which creates a kind of conundrum. Was it 100% this other woman? Like, was this other woman was pulling a Lou Ferrigno with a CG face of Jen Walters on her? I don't feel like it was always like that, because there's some scenes where I recall some scenes in like during the wedding where you can see that you can see all of She-Hulk is CGI, and it's just like, it just sticks out. There's something wrong with the face. There's always something wrong with the mouth. I recall, here we go with the railroad, Paul. I recall, when that Final Fantasy movie came out, and they were, this is the height of technology. They were pushing for virtual reality. This virtual reality actress was going to, you were going to see her everywhere. She was going to be everywhere. And, you know, this was the future. And that, of course, that movie bombed really hard. But I recall going, I went to the theater to see it because I was really into the Final Fantasy series, still am. And, you know, I was interested in seeing what they had to offer. And I just remember just like their mouths were off. Like the mouth doesn't, you know, they call this the uncanny valley or whatever, but the mouth just doesn't look right. The eyes don't look right. Wrists never seem to bend where they're supposed to bend. Like, you know, you'd think that the wrist would bend at the end of the hand. Sometimes I felt like they were bending like at the mid forearm. So I brought that railroad up because I kind of felt the same way when we get to She-Hulk, where it's just like, just something is off. Like the mouth is just a little bit off, or the eyes are just a little bit off. Something's off. That just, it just kind of takes me out just a little bit. Same with, when we get to Ms. Marvel, where Ms. Marvel, they changed the whole, like her whole power set, or what her premise of her power set is. I'm sure that pissed off fans of Ms. Marvel. I never read the book, so that's fine. But when she used her powers, oh my God, they looked like garbage. They looked like shit. They looked like absolute shit. I assume that they didn't want to give her stretchy powers because, you know, they didn't want to compete against Mr. Fantastic, who's going to have stretchy powers. And, you know, I just have visions of the Fantastic Four movie where the computer animation was like that. It was god awful in that. Now it's like, if we get a Fantastic Four movie, do we actually have a fix for the stretchy hands, or are we going to have the CGI people that are overworked and we're just going to get we're just going to cut and paste the Reed Richards CGI from those Fantastic Four movies. But yeah, they decided to crystallize them, and the crystals just didn't look real. Like, nothing looked real. It just looked like blah. But that is power sets. And, you know, when you use powers, you're going to have to use CGI. I understand that. I get that. It's just the whole avenue that I was trying to go down is just the whole, like, the physical suits versus the virtual suits. I'm kind of glad that we're stepping away. I mean, eventually, Peter Parker got rid of the Iron Man suit. Fine. I mean, it looks like a physical suit. Granted, Tom Holland isn't web slinging, so that's going to be CGI. But you know, at least we have a physical suit. Hopefully he wears the physical suit. I think like a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that I saw as soon as they could do CGI for Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. was out of that suit. You know, he was just wearing the chest plate, and everything else could be CGI'd. And you can see that sometimes. You can really see that sometimes. It really sticks out, where it's just not really shaded the same. I'm going to go to Friends of Besto TV, where I asked this question, and I'm going to read what people have said, and I'm going to I will comment, so anybody who participated will get a shout out on the podcast. So there you go. I always butcher your last name, so I'm just going to call you Nick. You know who you are. Bruzizi. You know, I always hear it in my head, but I never actually utter the words ever. If I ever talk to you, I'd just call you Nick. You know that. Whatever. You can butcher my last name. I give you permission. Nick says, I would prefer physical costumes. It's not always possible, but there will be CGI for the actual superpowers. Star Wars showed us that too much CGI is bad, aka Episode 1. But it also showed us that good physical costumes and effects with some CGI is good. Look at The Mandalorian. As a cosplayer, I like the physical costumes, so I can kind of replicate that. I'm going to sidetrack here, but even as a CG guy, for cosplayers, you could probably still emulate a CG suit, correct? I don't know. You're not here to defend yourself. I'm sorry. Because there's a lot, you know, anime and animation and stuff. They're not physical suits. I guess what you're saying is physical costumes, you can find references. There's always like behind the scenes stuff with physical suits, whereas what you see is what you get when it comes to CGI. I guess that makes sense. I understand it's not possible for every character, but if Hollywood can do it, then those in the cosplay community can usually come pretty close to replicating it. CGI for the actual superpowers is pretty much required. So why not dress the actor up if they can? There needs to be a decent balance between CGI and practical effects and costumes. I agree with that. I agree with that. And then my reply to him, I will be willing to, and I'll stand behind this, I am willing to take a collection to give to Disney so that it can CGI Boba Fett's fucking helmet onto him in the Book of Boba Fett. That's one character that should not be walking around with no goddamn helmet. End of story. William J. says, physical. Not only does it look better 90% of the time, but it also keeps the body language real. When it's CGI bot costume or body, usually the mind senses something off and it takes you out of the takes you right out of the action. Which Aaron Sabota replies, right, this is the uncanny valley. This is the thing that I was just talking about 5 seconds ago. Mr. Lobo participated, and he says, I think physical costumes should exist for the actors and FX and the FX artists' sake. Both may be required in some cases. I think Ghost Rider would be unlikely without CGI, but I think both. Let's let you reap all the benefits and gives you an undeniable reference for the audiences. Aaron Saboter says, most movies are a mixture of the two now, not 100% either. Take Deadpool. It helps with the comic book-like expressiveness. Good point. I actually didn't even really cover Deadpool in any of my rant for the last 20 minutes. But yeah, Deadpool with a physical costume and then his mask, you know, he's physical, still a physical mask with maybe, you know, with, you know, green screen or markers or whatever, motion tracking, so that, you know, he can actually express or emote where through a mask. That's kind of an interesting aspect where you get that in the comic books, you know, Spider-Man, Deadpool, any of those characters that actually wear a mask, you can see, you know, they can squint, they can look surprised and stuff. A physical mask isn't really going to do that. So if you're basing your comic book movie off of reality, that's probably where in the movie they would have them remove their mask for whatever reason, or see within their mask for whatever reason, so you could see them emote. But doing the CGI over top of off Deadpool's mask allows him to emote and kind of be like the character in the comic book. A+, Aaron. You get a gold star, and Nick, you get a cookie, and Mr. Lobo, you get some belly button lint, and William, you get a pat in the head. Hopefully you all listen to this comment wherever you can comment. James Hannon says that unless the costume does something out of the ordinary, so much extra work for the editor that does not need to be done. So I'm assuming that, yeah, if you do this all in camera, if you do physical suits all in camera, it makes it so much easier on the editor or the effects artist, especially like when I'm saying where like a lot of the effects artists are overworked nowadays. So it's not reaching, the quality standard that it should be at. So, you know, this allows the editor, to just get it done and not have to rely on another department. So for James, I give you that dollar I owe you. And that's basically everything that, the Facebook, our friends of. So again, like if you want some, you want a participation trophy, you want me to give you a fake kudos, you know, get a shout out on the podcast, consider joining and chatting. But yeah, I mean, do I have any final thoughts when it comes to this? I mean, they're all valid points. It's like, you know, again, you're not really necessarily going to get a Ghost Rider without CGI. Although if you've ever watched the behind the scenes stuff with Nick Cage's Ghost Rider, they get pretty damn close. I mean, granted, you're going to have the physical leather suit. You're going to have the physical, like he had chains and whatnot. And it appeared like if you watch some of the stuff, he had his face painted white with black eyes, which probably helped your effects artist a little bit. I'm not 100% sure if he did that at the request of the studio or if he did that because he was doing things in method, because he was doing things in method at that time. So that could be a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. But yeah, the other thing with Ghost Rider is like the motorcycle, at least in the first one, the motorcycle was a physical motorcycle. They mocked that up. It wasn't all completely CGI. That it was kind of horrendous. So it wasn't really my favorite Ghost Rider motorcycle, but it served a purpose. So that motorcycle, I think, was pretty much physical and then altered digitally, you know, added the flames and whatnot. I guess like the Eternals, they're wearing physical costumes on set, but you know, when they have to gear up or whatever, they step into their ship and their ship, you know, projects, they wardrobe up via the ship. I mean, I guess if they have space technology, they're not going to go into the wardrobe, into the bathroom, into a stall and change into it. I guess they're going to have the computer. I mean, they're all technically based. I think like, so I'm trying to recall like what other things are out there. I mean, Paul Bettany, pretty much wore a physical suit, with some paint. So he's kind of like falls in the line with what we were talking about with Deadpool, where, you know, it's just limited, you know, I think like whatever's with his face, you know, they just have to add on to his face to make him look more robotic. I mean, I guess I've been poo pooing on the CGI more than the physical. I mean, here's the inverse where, so like Shazam wears a physical suit, and of course, you know, the actor didn't want to go through the torture of actually having to do, you know, whatever necessary to get the muscle structure. So he has a suit that has just basically muscles sewn into it. And yeah, you can tell at a lot of times, you can see that at quite a bit of instances, versus, you know, say The Rock playing Black Adam, where he's physically like that. But I kind of feel like you know, The Rock is physically able to, you know, has the physique for it, but I feel like the suit was CGI'd onto him or CGI altered, or not everything was there. I could be wrong. It could be just, you know, I'm looking for holes in something where there probably isn't any holes. I'm probably making a stink about something that shouldn't be stunk up. I mean, I don't know if I can stink up Black Adam any more than what I can. I don't know if, like, okay, so like Adam Smasher, I don't know if Adam Smasher had a physical suit. He did a lot of the characteristics where his like eyes were, had expression and everything. But when he was gigantic, I feel like all that was CGI when he was gigantic. They didn't take him or a stunt double and record something in a, they didn't record something on the side and record something in a blue room or whatever. Or they may have, even if they did anything, I'm sure him or a stunt person probably had the motion capture dots on. And they just use the motion capture. They just kind of completely CGI'd him. Or it would go back to like Gollum. We'll go to a non-superhero thing. I mean, I don't know if Gollum could be, the, you know, just the way he's been portrayed, I don't know if he could be non-CGI. And again, Gollum looks good 95% of the time. And then there's that 5% where he looks a little off. It looks a little wrong. Sometimes I feel like it's perspective too. Like they CGI them in there. And I think like where the camera angle is that they wouldn't fit in the angle properly. So they're CGI'd to be more of a presence. And it would, I guess like it wouldn't make sense. It doesn't visually make sense. Now that we're out of the realm of superheroes, you know, we'll go back to like Avatar. Avatar the Last Airbender. No, Avatar the Way of Water. Either of those movies, really. It's basically an animated movie at this point. I mean, there's times where, again, you visualize Mark Ruffalo in that Hulkbuster, and he's just a floating torso, or he's a floating head, versus, you know, where like you get the battle scene in like the first Avatar, and the colonel, the corporal, the I can't recall his name, but you know, he's in that, he's in the big mech suit and he's fighting the Avatar. He's fighting, Jake from State Farm. And, you know, kind of looking back on it, you know, the technology, the animation's a little bit old, but he's just a floating body within this mech suit. You know, sometimes that's just how I see it. Bottom line is I try to enjoy, the movie as it is. You know, Dan Avordan from the Grame Grumps said it best, where it's like, I just try to enjoy the movie and not take in all the other stink. But I also have to produce a podcast and sometimes I have to tackle these flaming hot button issues, hot topic issues. Which is right? Is it hot button or hot topic, or is neither of them right? Hot topic is a store. You know, let's get some emo stuff at Hot Topic. The Hot Topic issues for this podcast and tackling those deep down gritty thoughts and expressions of somebody else's work, and just, you know, just be like a critic, just be like the critic from History of the World Part 1, the first critic, and just piss all over that art. That is all the time that I have for tonight. I hope that this was informative. I hope that this was funny. I hope this brought some laughs. And I will see you next week. Have fun.